Hey, what's up, everybody? Chad Kalick here, and welcome back to the In a Crowded Room podcast, where on this episode, we're going to discuss the incredibly bizarre story of the extremely talented young boxer Ryan Garcia, who has recently come out and made some really wild allegations in reference to the Hollywood Illuminati, otherwise known as the Hollywood Vampires. He's made some claims of some horrendous things that have been done to him at Bachelor's Grove, of all places, and even claims to have some information on Jeffrey Epstein. It's a really wild story that the media is pitching it as this young man's lost his mind, he's crazy, he's a druggie. But I think when you look into this story, there's a little more to it. And you got to go back in time a little bit to understand kind of fully what's happening. And so we're going to discuss that, and you guys could kind of, share your thoughts with me in the comments. And obviously through this podcast episode, you'll get to hear my thoughts. But before I do that, look, I want to say thank you to everybody that has taken the time to listen to the last podcast. The last couple, actually, which is the interview with Ryan and also kind of the podcast that I've put out before that to kind of share my perspective of, the situation with Ryan so many years ago now. I can tell you that your comments were absolutely read by myself and Ryan, all of them, and they were hard-hitting, heartwarming. It means a lot to me that you guys took the time to really consider the whole story and everything that happened. Because that's something I also had to do in kind of coming to terms with what had occurred with my friend. On the next episode, after this one, so tomorrow, I'm going to do another podcast that's a follow-up. Because you guys have asked a lot of questions, and there's a lot of them that I can answer that are directed at me. And there's also a lot of questions that are directed at Ryan that are, really interesting stuff that I'll kind of curate and put together for him. And he's very busy right now working on, his stuff for his degree and kind of establishing himself right now and working with patients. But we have discussed him, answering some of those further questions that you guys have. So if there are any specific questions, in addition to the things that I've already kind of made note of, those of you that are longtime listeners, you know that you could always email me questions at aghsoldiers@me.com. Just AGH, like American Ghost Hunter, aghsoldiers@me.com. Or you could post the questions, in the comments, on my Instagram. I kind of curate from everywhere, but the best way to do it is to just email me. That way I get them for sure. Also, to all the new subscribers, thank you guys so much. Glad to have you. If you are just now discovering this podcast, it really is a storyteller's podcast. It's kind of a combination from me sharing personal experiences in my life that have been really interesting or things that I have learned something from or things that I found to be, kind of profound moments to me, kind of mixed with, current events and things that are going on in the world of the paranormal, ranging from UFOs to ghosts to conspiracy theories to all of that stuff. But it's a lot of fun, and I thank you guys for all your positive comments as well. We do have a Patreon. If you guys dig this podcast, my films, everything that we do is independent. We do that to keep hands out of our stuff creatively. It's the way we've always done it here. So if you want to check out our Patreon, the link is below. There's always goodies there that no one else has seen. Just recently, I posted for the first time the official movie poster for A House in the Harbinger Kingdom, which is, I think, the coolest movie poster that we've ever had. It's certainly the most involved, and I know you guys don't know the story yet, but I look at the poster and I see how it all ties in. It's pretty cool. But we release all kinds of stuff there, behind the scenes stuff, photos, videos, music. And as far as becoming a patron, because I truly appreciate any level of support, our Patreon is set up where you choose the level of contribution that you want to make. Because I firmly believe that if you want to support us in this way, and if you're able to, you know the level that makes sense for you and the level in which you can comfortably support us. Having said that, if you're not able to support us on Patreon right now, I completely understand. The only thing that I ask is that you please subscribe to the channel. And if you enjoyed the In a Crowded Room podcast, please share it with your friends and family and tell them why you like it. Once again, thank you all for your support. It means the world to me. We simply could not do what we do across the board without your support. With that, let's dive into this Ryan Garcia story. And you don't have to know a lot about boxing to really care about the story, but I will tell you a little bit about Ryan as a kind of new age boxer, because that is relevant. And what I mean by new age boxer, boxing in general has kind of been going through this disruptive stage with the emergence of Jake Paul. And the reason why Jake Paul has been able to be such a disruptor in the sport is because he has a massive online following. And there are boxers who don't really care about their social media, which in today's world, that shocks me, but it's true. There's a lot of boxers that just claim to be purists. And they're like, I don't need that shit. I just need to be a good boxer. And then there's boxers like Ryan Garcia, who is younger, and he saw the benefits right away of building an online following, which he has done. And he's done it quite effectively. And that translates into money. He can put people in an arena. And unlike Jake Paul, Ryan Garcia has been boxing his entire life. And he is the real deal. I don't know if he's like the greatest young boxer in the world or anything, but he's certainly in the top tier of boxers. But the story really has nothing to do with whether or not he has the pedigree of a world champion or not. Because what's more important to promoters is the fact that he can make money, and he's made a lot of it. At age 27, he has already made $100 million. Now, we'll discuss in a little bit why that's relevant as well to this story. But right now, if you go look this story up, the common theme that you're going to see is pretty much everyone is saying he's on drugs and he's losing it. There's a lot of people that are accusing him of being abusing cocaine and staying up for days and all this stuff. And recently he actually had a press conference where he was asked about it, which he came right out and said, listen, I do not do cocaine at all. I smoke weed. I drink beer. He said that at his press conference and offered to take a live drug test. But while the media is pushing that he's lost his mind, he's crazy, and he's doing drugs, he's a young kid that's lost his way, this story actually began a while ago. Ryan Garcia, his promoter is Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya is a living legend as far as boxing goes. He is considered one of the greats of all time. But Oscar had a lot of problems, oddly enough, involving cocaine. And he's admitted this. It's well known. And at the end of his career, when he decided he was going to start becoming a promoter, there was all kinds of weird stuff that came out about him. I just mentioned the cocaine abuse, but there were also a bunch of weird photos that came out of him cross-dressing and him wearing like bras and panties and partying with escorts and all this stuff. And kind of the same thing. The story was, oh, he's crazy. He's lost it. But the timing was weird. Again, it was at the time where he stopped doing what people wanted him to do, which is just box and generate money for everyone around him. The thing you got to consider, if Ryan Garcia has made $100 million at the age of 27, okay, he has made considerably more for the promoters and the people that are standing behind him. Now, what's important to know about this story Is about a month ago, there was a big fight announcement for the fight that's going on coming up, which is Ryan versus Devin Haney, who's a world champion. And there was this incredible press conference that was really, it was so uncomfortable to watch. And again, we'll play it here for you in a second. But basically, the promoter, when you have a promoter and you sign with the promoter, their job is to pretty much tell the world that you are the best thing alive, that you are going to be the world champion, the greatest world champion of all time, the greatest boxer of all, like that's their job, to promote you as the best, period. It's also their job to go out and make the fights that the boxer wants to make. It's supposed to be that way, right? The promoter is supposed to work for the boxer. A lot of times it doesn't end up working that way. Boxing historically is known for promoters signing young boxers and then for 20 to 30 fights having them fight tomato cans. You hear that term a lot in boxing. Oh, this guy's a tomato can. And what that means is they're basically padding their record. They take a young boxer who's pretty good and then they consistently feed him boxers that they know are not going to win. I think recently, for example, I'll just give you an example. Again, you don't have to know anything about boxing to know how ridiculous this is. The world champion heavyweight boxer is Tyson Fury. His younger brother, Tommy Fury, who's a boxer as well, almost looks like a model. He was like 10 and 0 or 11 and 0, I think, when he fought Jake Paul. Okay. Now, because Tommy is a Fury, any loss that he has would kind of rub off and kind of make Tyson Fury look bad, or at least that's the traditional belief. So by the time Tommy Fury was 11 and 0, the people that he had fought collectively, their record was like 4 and like 120. It was that bad. It was ridiculous. It was so bad. So that's kind of typically what happens when young fighters get signed by these promoters. And the idea is that you build them up until their record's like 30 and 0, and then, you slowly promote them into they're the deadliest man on the planet, and then you kind of bring them together with the current champions or contenders. And the idea is that you build enough hype to, to just sell a ton of pay-per-views, because that's really what the whole boxing game is about, pay-per-views. Well, Ryan Garcia got tired of fighting these tomato cans, and he wanted to fight better people. So he targeted this guy, Gervonta Tank Davis, who is a world champion that boxes for Floyd Mayweather, and the Money Team, they call him. Well, Ryan Garcia's promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, he kept dragging his feet and not wanting to do it. And the more and more, Ryan pushed him to make the fight, he started kind of talking negatively about Ryan Garcia, saying, he's just not there. He's not on the same level. He's pushing too hard, too fast. And Garcia's kind of going, listen, I just don't want to spend the next 5 years of my life fighting these quote tomato cans. This is the guy that, I want to fight. I think I could beat him. Let's find out, right? So it was just kind of weird that a promoter would be talking negatively about his boxer because it's oxymoronic. It's the exact opposite of what a promoter should be doing. But nonetheless, eventually the fight was made and Ryan lost. And it was his first loss. Ryan is everything that you would want in a young boxer. I mean, he's very talented. The kid looks like a model. I mean, he's a very good-looking guy, very marketable, charismatic, big on social media. But he fought Gervonta and lost. And after he lost, you would think that a promoter would be trying to build him up and start preparing for the comeback fight, all that stuff. But there was a continuation of kind of bad comments from Oscar and also Oscar's partner, which was again confusing because it's like, well, wait a minute. He signed with you. You're his promoter. Why are you saying he wasn't ready? He wasn't talented enough, that type of thing. Well, Ryan Garcia bounces back from that fight and says, now I want to fight Devin Haney. Now, again, this is all important and not from a boxing perspective. It's important for what we're fixing to discuss with his kind of meltdown. They make this fight. Now, Devin Haney, again, incredibly talented, world champion caliber, a very dangerous guy. Garcia is the underdog going into it. And when they do this press conference, out of the blue, without Oscar De La Hoya knowing this was coming, Garcia gets up at the press conference in front of Oscar De La Hoya and his partner and pretty much bashes him. And as he's doing this, you can see on Oscar De La Hoya's face that he is not enjoying this. It's pissing him off pretty good. And again, his partner, who by the way is Bernard Hopkins, for those of you that do know boxing, is a former world champion. And Ryan Garcia really goes after him. This was, I think, a defining moment that I think kind of set a lot of this into motion. But basically, Garcia got up and said, these guys don't control me. I'll do whatever I want to do. And if I got to go elsewhere and work with other people, I will. But before I go further in the story, let's watch that press conference as well. Check this out.
And now I welcome to the podium international superstar who has broken records and has led the charge to make the biggest fights in boxing happen, Ryan Garcia. Ryan.
Good afternoon to everybody. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to the Most High, Jesus Christ. I also want to invite the Holy Spirit into this press conference. Just always want to invite him. Man, a couple of things that I want to touch. You know, one thing that's been on my heart is the statements that Bernard made, where he'll decide if I'm going to finish or if I should continue boxing after this fight. He don't decide that. My coach does, my team does, everybody that, you know, grinds with me day in and day out, that's who decides, and ultimately God decides, not him. Nobody was telling him when to stop boxing. You know, he stopped boxing at, what, 45, so kudos to him. But he don't determine that. And another thing I want to touch on is, you know, Oscar saying that, you know, we misinterpret, you know, what they say. It's plain English. I didn't hear anybody speaking any language I don't know. So, you know, it's very clear to me that, you know, they're backing this guy to beat me just like they thought Duno was going to beat me. He was the next Filipino star. They saying he's the next Mexican star. You know what? I put everything into this fight. You know, for the first time, I'm extremely committed in a long time. You know, 2021 was one of the times it kind of broke me. 2022, you know, changed me. 2023 opened my eyes. I'm about to come back. Come back for everything. You know, I'm just lasered and I'm laser focused. And that's where my confidence comes from. I mean, this is the Ryan Garcia you're going to get. I'm going to continue boxing. And, you know, he also said that, you know, he calls out on the bullshit, the lies. Man, last time I checked, he said he never loses to a white boy, and then Joe Smith Jr. knocked him out of the ring. Last time I checked, Joe Smith Jr. was white. So, you know, they be lying. So at the end of the day, you know, I'll come to show what I bring, and I'm laser focused, and that's where this confidence comes from. Thank God for everything, and all praise to the Most High, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Okay, well, shortly after this happened, which clearly there's, you know, bad blood between these guys. And this is just weird. This has never really happened in boxing before, where a fighter is standing in front of everybody at a press conference and bashing their promoter. Well, shortly after this, that's when all the really weird stuff started happening. First on Ryan's Instagram. All these strange Instagram texts start coming up, and ones like, you know, we have him, we're going to cut his throat. Satan is on top now, 666. All these really bizarre Instagram, you know, messages come up. And then more of these satanic messages would come up. And then eventually the super bizarre message came up with him in this building, which it looks like he's either in a police station or some kind of hospital. And this is what he had to say. This is the clip right here. Check this out.
Hey guys, it's me, Ryan. I'm coming on here to explain what's going on. I'm not in possession of my phone. I can't get access to my Instagram. My cards are locked. And I'm just being real, you know, I'm being real taken advantage. And I I personally wanted just to send out a video to the people that love me and my fans and family that's concerned that I'm okay. I'm not dead. I believe in Jesus. All those are lies. And, you know, they try to put me in jail. They're blocking my cards. I can't access my money. Nobody's hitting me back. I don't know what's going on, but just know I'm okay. Look.
Well, from here, things got even more bizarre. There's this program on Twitter, which 30, 40 people could go on and listen to one guy talk. And Garcia was on there, and he was talking about how he's conjured up demons to cast them out of his life, and there's pure evil that's coming after him, that he has God on his side so he can defeat it. But then he takes it to the next step, and he starts talking about the Illuminati and saying that the Illuminati is coming after him, and he doesn't care what they want. He doesn't care what they try to make him do. He's not going to give into it. And then out of the blue, because he's everywhere, it seems, Andrew Tate comes in this conversation, and he starts saying to Andrew really specific things. When he's talking to Andrew, he's saying that he was kidnapped and taken to Bohemian Grove, which is like a private mountaintop, basically, with all these cabins. Years ago, Alex Jones snuck in and recorded these rituals that go on there. But like the world's most powerful people, from presidents to literally world leaders to like the world's wealthiest people, a few times a year, they gather at this Bohemian Grove. And there's these really weird rituals that go on. It's called the cremation of care ceremony, where they burn this fake baby in effigy. And it's supposed to be, like I said, a cremation of care. So you're like burning your ability to care.
Be gone, detested care. Be gone. Once more, be banished. Be gone, dull care. Fire shall have its will of thee. Be gone, dull care. And all the winds make merry with thy dust.
They all like pray to this Moloch, the owl god, and they just do a bunch of really weird shit there that's private.
It is a mixture of the Babylonian Canaanite cult of Moloch fused with ancient druidic rites, where you have the female side of Satan, which they first call out to in the she, and then towards the horn god with the he, mixed with Masonic rites from Scotland. It's very likely that many of the 1,500 to 2,000 member crowd had really no idea what they were actually watching because it was thinly veiled.
So shall we burn thee once again this night, and flames that eat thine effigy, we shall read the sign that thee
next shall burn me once again!
Now for these flames, which hither ye have brought from regions where I reign, ye fools and priests, I spit upon your fire.
You're not allowed to go on the land, you're not allowed to enter any of it, you're not allowed to see any of it. And there are some heavy, heavy claims that come out of there about child trafficking. Like, you name it, really disturbing stuff. These rumors have existed forever. So out of the blue, Garcia starts saying he was taken there by the Illuminati, the Hollywood Illuminati, and he said he was tied to a tree, and he was forced to watch, I can't even say the word because I'll get it completely demonetized, but CP, or, you know, videos of kids doing things that they shouldn't be doing with adults. And he's saying he was forced to watch this stuff. And what's even crazier is he's saying, listen, I can prove it. I have videos of when I was there. I was able to record things as they were taking me out there. And he starts saying that it has some odd connection to the people that are involved with Epstein as well, which I don't know how odd the connection would be, in the sense that if you look, you know, a lot of Epstein's guests that were on his plane and were going to visit him, a large percentage of them were from Hollywood. And, you know, we know child trafficking was real in that circle because Ghislaine Maxwell's in jail for it. Just nobody knows who's on the list, right? There's only a few names that have come out, but no one knows the extensive list. Well, Garcia starts claiming that he knows who's on the list. And he's claiming that after he came out and started talking and threatening to, you know, spill the beans, that the Illuminati, the people that run it or are part of it, I guess, have met with him. And they're trying to get him to chill out and not, you know, release all the stuff that he has. And there's a lot of people that believe that the reason all of this is happening is, much like Oscar De La Hoya, when he got into promoting and didn't want to fight anymore and he wanted to be on the, you know, the big money making side, that's when all these humiliating things came out about him. Him doing coke, him cross-dressing. And there's a belief that basically the Hollywood Illuminati essentially said, you know, if you want to do this and you're not going to, you know, do the things that we want you to do and you want to be a promoter, then you're going to do it, you know, at the terms in which we set. Now, I don't know if any of that's true. That's a rumor that's going around. That's a belief. But what I do find really weird about the Ryan Garcia story is that he has very specific details that he's talking about. But, you know, I have to like kind of stop and go back and look at this based upon what I know and what I've experienced since I moved here. When I first moved here, and we'll come back to Ryan Garcia in just a second, let's first, I guess, talk about, you know, are the Hollywood vampires real? Which Hollywood vampires is just another name for the Hollywood Illuminati. I've done a couple podcasts about this, but for the new listeners, I was interested in this for a long time because I did see a lot of things in Hollywood that just didn't make sense. Just knowing how hard it is to get anywhere in this business, and certain people just seem to come out of nowhere and ascend to the highest levels in no time. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on? And I've also seen certain people that bring forth information that threaten those at the top, and suddenly those people, you know, become targets and their career just gets destroyed. There's a lot of cases of this. And I've just seen a lot of weirdness around certain individuals since the beginning. Ashton Kutcher is a very weird history with him, weird recent history. Yeah, that's a whole other episode, which I actually have a couple podcasts about him if you want to go back and listen to those. And that's an ongoing story that we'll do a podcast on in the future as well. But my point being, when I first got out here, I was always asking people that I would meet that were kind of up the ladder from me, you know, if the Hollywood vampires were real. And I did notice that nobody wanted to talk about it. That's for sure. No one did. Until finally, I had an agent that had a very deep history in Hollywood and working with very, very successful people. And we had many little talks about it. And then I eventually, we ended up having a deeper conversation about it one day. And I finally just asked him, I was like, well, listen, dude, can you just tell me, like, is this a real thing or not? You know, because there is a lot of weird symbols that show up on people when they get to certain levels. A lot of the stuff that Dave Chappelle says seems to line up. You know, is this real? He paused and he said, why do you want to know this? And I said, just pure curiosity. I just want to know. And I'll never forget his answer. I mean, he looked at me and he says, it's more real than you could ever imagine. And he didn't want to talk about it any further after that. He didn't want to talk about it. The other person that really kind of made me believe that there was something to it for sure is, rewind the clock a little bit. When I was in 1991, Laura and I went to a concert. Queensryche had that song Silent Lucidity, and it was a big hit. And I was like, hey, Laura, you want to go see Queensryche? And she's like, sure. It was like one of our first dates we went on. And when I got there, there was this band opening up that I had never heard of before. And I was an angst-ridden young man when I was 15. Laura could tell you stories. I was definitely what you would, deem the bad boy, at that time of my life. And there was this band opening up called Suicidal Tendencies. I had never heard of them. And this band blew my fucking mind. I was just like, what? It was like this very like operatic metal that had this classic influence, but it was totally just thrown into a blender with West Coast skate culture and punk rock and hardcore. It was just, I had never heard anything like it. And it like, oh man, it just hit me to the soul. I had never heard anything like it. I had never seen the style that they had, the whole Venice Beach style. But that's kind of the point I'm getting at here is I learned there from Venice Beach, California. So when I moved out to Los Angeles, almost a decade later, I was so excited to go through Venice and drive through Venice because I'm like, yo, this is the home of Suicidal Tendencies, man. You know, when I get into things, I have this, like I said, I'm an addict to all things. And getting into this band, I just learned that they all lived in Venice. And when I started doing Paranormal State, oddly enough, a friend of mine that I had made in Marina Del Rey, where I was living, just a neighbor, said, yo, you got to meet my friend George. He is your biggest fan. The dude goes nuts about you. He watches every episode of Paranormal State. He's heavily into the paranormal. I bring him over and introduce him to you. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I met this guy, George. And one of the most wholesome, just sweetest guys I've ever met. Cool as hell. So helpful. So complimentary. Just such a positive soul in general. And turns out George was like an OG from Dogtown. Venice Beach around here, they refer to it as Dogtown. In fact, if you're walking through Venice and you run into any of the locals, you know, they'll look at you like you're fucking crazy if you call Venice Venice Beach. I mean, it's just not called that. It's called Dogtown. And if you're born and raised there, you're called a Dogtown OG. And George was a Dogtown OG. And turns out, this is how cool of a guy he is, he knows and has grown up with everybody in Suicidal Tendencies. So through us talking, he finds out that I'm a massive fan. And on my birthday, he calls me and says, hey man, you want to go grab a Subway? We used to always have lunch at Subway right by my place. I said, sure. And we're driving past the Subway. And I'm like, yo, dude, we just drove past. Like, where are we going? He's like, we're going to go eat somewhere else. And he takes me over, and I meet everybody in Suicidal Tendencies. They're all barbecuing at their house. And I was just like, this is the coolest shit. So I'll tell you how cool of a guy George is. But George had his history. He had his struggles, like a lot of kids that came from Venice. Dogtown's a rough place. For a while, Venice was like a war zone, which is, you know, what kind of birthed a lot of that hardcore, that Suicidal Tendencies style of music. And fortunately, George is no longer with us. The guy was one of my best friends. Again, one of the most beautiful, wholesome individuals I've ever met. One of the most giving, caring people I've ever met. Unfortunately, George had a big chunk of his life that he struggled with addiction. He struggled with heroin addiction. And that heroin addiction, especially in his younger years, had took him up into the Hollywood Hills. Now, from the day I moved to LA, everybody I met told me, hey man, do not go into the hills. Not visiting or driving around, but like party gets evil. Like it is a dangerous place. There is evil in the hills. If you want to find it, it's there. People will hurt you. And I remember talking to George about always hearing that. And I was like, so is this whole Hollywood vampires thing real? And he was just like, abso-fucking-lutely. It is absolutely real. Do not go up there. They are looking to compromise people. There are things that go on there that are so evil you can't imagine. Stay out of there. Never go there. Never go to a party there. Just stay away. And he was dead serious. And this guy is a Dogtown OG that's lived here his whole life. Okay? According to him, it's very, very real. And I have a tendency to believe him. There would be no reason for him to lie to me. And it's not like I was saying, oh, so you could get in some trouble up there. He was like, no, there is a group of people that will look to compromise you and get you in a position where they have heavy, heavy, heavy dirt on you. So you have to do now whatever they say. I'm like, seriously? And he's like, yes, this is real. Stay out of there. So I did. And believe me, man, I have had my situations where people invited me to things that didn't add up. Certain parties that didn't make sense or didn't sound right at locations that, yeah, that I'd be like, why would it be there? And things like that. That's a whole other podcast we can do. But that is what I immediately thought of when Ryan Garcia made his most recent post. Because after, you know, him talking to Andrew Tate and doing this this Twitter Squares thing or whatever it was that he was doing, the media just ran wild with this, he's insane, he's crazy, he's losing his mind. Which, look, honestly, he does sound like he's not together, like when he's talking. But he doesn't sound like he's high. He doesn't sound like he's, you know, drunk or anything. When you listen to Ryan Garcia, you know, talk in these videos, he sounds like a kid who's having a very difficult time explaining what it is that he's up against. So he's bringing out big pieces of the story. You know, he's saying things like, you know, human trafficking, child trafficking. Like, obviously, people know those things. You know, he's talking about the Illuminati. And he keeps saying things like, I'm going to release all the evidence when it's time and when I can lay it all out. Because right now, it's just like broken pieces of the story are coming out. And what's really interesting, too, is when he talks to Andrew Tate basically starts saying to him, listen, do you have the details? Because you're saying they took you to Bohemian Grove. Do you know where they took you from, who they were, what car you were in, where you were standing by, where's the tree that you say they tied you up to? And his immediate response is, yes, of course I have all that information. And Andrew is just like, hey, you know, you need to be careful of the things that you're saying right now. Basically, he believes in God and God has given him authority and he can, you know, say what he wants and he can't be touched. And you could tell that Andrew Tate is really watching his words carefully. And he says, I can tell you, my friend, they can touch you. They absolutely can. And you need to be very careful about what you're saying right now.
You know the higher elites, bro. You already know who they are, bro.
You know the path you're going down is dangerous, my friend.
They can't touch me. I'm a god.
Well, that's the first point of contention, because I care about you a lot, and I can assure you from my own personal experience that they can touch you.
So why would all these people be acting this way and consistently saying, be careful with what you're saying, if none of this was real? Why would, you know, my friend who has spent his entire life here giving me those type of warnings about the Hollywood Hills and Hollywood vampires? Why would, you know, my agent who has roots in this city that go back deep, 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 like, you know, my agent used to represent Richard Pryor, like that deep. Okay? And he's saying, you have no idea how real this is. And why would the media be instantly just pushing Ryan Garcia's crazy? Why would the media not find it interesting that he's saying He has evidence and proof that he was abducted. He claims that he was assaulted as a child sexually. He claims that he's met with these people in the Illuminati and they don't want him to talk and they're trying to convince him not to. And why would all of this have started the second he didn't do what Oscar and his team and the people behind them wanted this young man to do? I mean, at 27 years old, already generated $100 million for himself. I'm guessing it's in the billion-dollar range that he's generated for everybody else. And suddenly, this kid's saying, hey, listen, I'm going to take my career into my own hands because I don't trust these people. And I'm going to do things the way I want to do it. And once that happens, immediately, all of this happens. All of this happens, which is very similar to when Oscar De La Hoya said, I'm going to build something else. I'm going to stop being a boxer. And then all this stuff came out about him, about he's crazy. And now, you know, he is on coke and he's on drugs until he basically falls in line. And he takes on all these partners. And then suddenly now he's just this promoter that's bringing in other young boxers and trying to keep them in a corner and to make that kind of money off them. Now, Oscar De La Hoya's career, he's made a lot of money too, but he was also somebody who complained of the percentages and how much money that he was getting ripped off for when he was younger. So why would he want to put another boxer in the same position? But yet he's doing it. He's doing it. Oscar De La Hoya's career when he was younger, that was a big part of it. He complained all the time that basically he was being taken advantage of by promoters. So why on earth would he do it to another boxer? You know? It's very strange. And why would the media, like I said, why would the media not look at this story and go, here's this young superstar? If I'm a reporter for any news, major news organization, I would go, okay, so maybe he is doing drugs. Have we addressed the fact that he has publicly now on several occasions offered to take a public drug test?
I want to clarify some things. I don't do cocaine. I would do a live drug test.
Ryan Garcia, he's posting that he's going to do a live drug test to show everybody that he's clean and he's not on drugs. You're going to set up a live drug test.
You know, and the last time Ryan came out, his last live that he did, in which he focused on the human trafficking, he said,
they're trying to shape the narrative where this boy is on coke. This is the only reason he's saying this.
Do they not understand you get drug tested almost every week?
I get drug tested every week by Vada. Go ask Vada if I'm on cocaine. Oh, we got it. You know cocaine is against the law, against Vada testing. Can you bring up? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is a drug list from Vada, guys. That's the people who drug test him. It's stimulants, S6 on the page. It says cocaine, substances of abuse in this section. Cocaine. That's what they test for.
Yep.
Every time they drug test him.
So obviously, now you know, I don't do cocaine.
Come on, man.
So what's next? Yeah. I mean.
Now, again, because, you know, he hasn't been able to, like, sit down and take, you know, an hour or 2 hours to, like, break down every detail of everything he's saying, it does. It sounds like the wildest shit ever. But let me ask you this question, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here right now. If anybody would have came out and said, okay, there's a guy named Jeffrey Epstein, and he's worth an immense amount of money. Nobody knows what he does. Supposedly he has a hedge fund, but nobody can really track any kind of trades, any kind of anything. This guy is connected to the top scientists of the world, the top leaders of the world. And he flies them all out to his island where it's just nothing but sex trafficking. And you're going to find out from different lists and different flight manuals that everybody from Stephen Hawking to Bill Clinton to, you know, you name it, they're all going to be regular visitors to this island. And he does this so he can get video and he can get information to basically compromise all these people. And then he gets him to do, you know, whatever he wants him to do, right down to a guy named Stanley Wexler that gave him, you know, $100 million property for free, gifted it to him. If someone said this guy is going to get arrested, put into jail, which he's sent to an isolated cell where he's in the hole completely alone. And there's supposed to be 5 cameras that monitor him. He's going to commit suicide. And no one's going to know why or how or anything like that. All the cameras are going to break. All the guards are going to be either looking the other way or taking a smoke break or gone. And no one's going to know what happened. Then afterwards, whatever body that was taken out of the cell, it's going to show that the neck was fractured from being choked, not from being hung. And no one's really going to know what happened to the dude. Like, if someone told you that story, all of that sounds crazy. If Ryan Garcia came out and laid all that out, we would all go, he's crazy. But yet again, this kid, you know, who's young and successful, has a career just scooting right along and making everybody a ton of money, stands up and says, yeah, I'm not going to do what they want me to do anymore. I'm going to do it my own way. And then this completely unfolds. And the media doesn't even want to ask questions about what it is that he says he has proof of.
You're going to have to come along and explain from the absolute beginning exactly how it happened, who was involved, how you got there, what car you were in, where you were standing, everything.
Of course they're going to want that, and I have all the information possible.
No one from the press or the media wants to say, oh, you were up in a place notorious for really strange, bizarre, secretive shit. You say you have footage of it. You say you know the people that kidnapped you and made you watch this horrific footage. Nobody in the press wants to say, do you have proof? Can I see the proof? Am I crazy, guys, for thinking this is weird? Or does the media always try to protect the elite of Hollywood? Because that's what it seems like to me. It seems like whatever Ryan Garcia has to say, let's just call him crazy. And the weird thing is, the media is also saying things like, you can just tell Garcia just looks, he looks terrible right now. He looks so puffy in the face and the way he's talking is so different. No, no, he's not. This kid, look, he's like movie star good looking. I mean, this kid looks incredible. And in his last couple of videos, besides, you know, being kind of disheveled as far as his, you know, speaking goes and wanting to get a lot out and being overtly religious, which he's always been very religious. I mean, he just looks like someone who went through some weird shit and has a lot to say and can't get it all out. At least to me. But the media is acting like he looks so terrible right now.
First, I want to give glory to Jesus Christ. I want to lift the room up with the energy of inviting the Holy Spirit in here to lead what I should say. So that's what I'm going to do. You know, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come into this room and fill this room with peace and just to be really direct.
A lot of people. I'm going to go with this guy. Or actually, Kane. I'm going to go with Kane. They don't understand hard work, Sean. You know how we get down.
I mean, look at this picture right now. This is him in his last video that he released. Does this kid look terrible to you? Does he look terrible to you? Pretty much looks like the same kid to me. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You know, I can't look at someone and say, oh, they're suffering this or not. I'm just calling it how I see it. Yes, he seems really disgruntled. His speech seems like the facts seem not that they're wrong. They just seem like we're not getting all the story. Now, that could be because for safety issues or that, what do they call it, a kill switch, like a protection button. You know, like, look, I released this, but I haven't released all of it yet. Stay away from me. But he's done things like he's already put out an Instagram message that said, listen, if they find me dead, you know, I didn't commit suicide. It's not me. They did it. You know, he's saying, I have no desire to kill myself, to do anything like that. Now, when people start posting those type of tweets or messages Something's going on. And especially the way everything went down with his Instagram with all the satanic stuff, and then how the blue he shows up in this room. That's a weird video. The one I showed you earlier in that video with all the blue chairs and the white walls. He still hasn't stated publicly where he was in that video. And there's a reason for that. Everybody on his Instagram was asking, where are you? Who are they that you're talking about? Where are you? And he hasn't stated where he was, but clearly he was somewhere. I would love to know what you guys think about this. I think this is a story that has a lot more to it than meets the eye. And I would love to know what you guys think. So definitely let me know what you think in the comments below. If you enjoyed this episode, as always, guys, help us with the algorithm. Help us get the word out. Click the thumbs up button. And share this episode with as many people as you can. Again, I would love to know what everybody thinks about this. I just think the whole thing is very, very weird. And once again, I'll be back tomorrow with an episode in which I'll be answering and responding to some of your questions about Ryan's interview as well. But until then, much love, everybody. I will be back tomorrow with more. All the best.